Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
My name's Chad.
This is Wayne.
And I'm Mikey.
I want to welcome Mikey Mason back. I am presuming we are going to drop this episode after the regular episode is on. So in case you have a really short memory, puff, puff, pass. And you can find his stuff at MikeyMason.com. This is the comedian we had at Fear the Con 2. He will be joining us again at Fear the Con 3. And Chad, you had another little teaser for Fear the Con 3 you told me. Is this...
Oh boy, that was a lot of beer ago.
This
it wasn't that much.
About the guy that's bringing his entire class out.
Oh yeah, well, we have a guy named Michael who is going to do some boffer spar instruction. You know, that's where you
that's where you take it
and you separate the stems and the seeds. No, that's where you do a padded sword, mm-hmm. and you do sword fighting and such. He even says it's not a martial art necessarily. It's not like Taekwondo or whatever, but it's something that can be applied to other martial arts. And so this one guy on the forum is like, hey, you know, that's pretty cool. I do martial arts and my class that I have is really into that. And apparently they're all big nerds in game, I guess. And they're like, yeah, I'm bringing my whole hop keto class, or I don't know which actual form they do, but it's like some weird, it's not Taekwondo, it's not Judo, and beyond that, I don't know. So they're bringing that
class. I'm just going to go with the first phrase my eyes landed on. It's War Machine Superiority. That is the fighting style he teaches.
Wow.
War Machine.
All right, let me change it into something that may make me look a little nerdy. I know that's kind of shocking.
You wore fangs in high school.
Custom made fangs.
With a cape.
That makes me look like a lot of things. Nerdy isn't one. So, anyway, I never did the boffing and all the...
boffing?
What?
That's why you're a nerd, Wayne.
So
some of us really got into the boffing in high school.
Wayne, it's time that you admit it.
I never did.
Everyone does it.
I never did the foam sword thing. So I never did the foam sword thing, but I used, as I mentioned before, I used to work at a theme park.
Yes.
So one of the things we would do is we would take those expandable swords that have the flashlight on it. And I know everyone can see the motion I'm making right now with my hand.
Totally, totally.
But we would go into one of the stores, shut all the lights off in the stores, have the batteries in there, turn the lights on, so we have our lightsaber fights.
Did you make the sound effects?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
We would have epic lightsaber duels in the middle of the store with all the lights off.
To me, that's the change. You can do all of that and not make the sound effects. You're just playing with toys. You're being a little immature, but you're playing with toys. When you start making the sound effects...
You're LARPing.
That's nerd territory. That is way into nerd territory.
We were on the clock, so we were getting paid to do it, actually.
You were getting paid to nerd out.
That's right. Great.
You know, I used to say that when I took vacations, sometimes it would be vacations where you wouldn't go anywhere or do anything. So I'd sit around and play World of Warcraft, and I'd come back from work like, oh, what did you do on your vacation? You guys? No. I got paid to play World of Warcraft. Yes, I did. Thank you.
And you weren't a gold farmer.
Yeah, no, I wasn't.
I want to fix your mic.
Fix my mic.
Yeah, and you might want to talk just a little bit closer to it.
Sure, I'll do that.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's that deep, rich Mikey Mason.
Yeah, that's what it is. I'm so masculine.
So.
That's not great, my foot, Chad.
That's the great thing I love about a bonus episode. We don't cut anything out.
Oh.
No, I do edit them a little bit, not much.
Yeah, that's because,
Not nearly with the...
So if I said anal monkey... You'd cut that out?
I don't know. Anal monkey f***ing, is that a go? Or
I think he's going to cut anal monkey f***ing.
I don't know, because anal monkey f***ing is like, you could put the explicit tag on it, and we've done that for bonus episodes. Now, we've never said anal monkey f***ing before. But.
So let's get to this show's real topic.
The beer.
Oh, dear Lord.
No, we'll come back to the beer.
Oh, no, I want the beer.
We will come back to the beer.
I kind of want the beer,
patient.
Too.
Behave yourselves, and maybe we'll come back to it.
Yes, Dad.
So, Mikey.
Yes, sir.
At your show last year.
Yes.
There was a song medley that you ended on.
Saturday morning cartoons.
And I want you to know that there were several of us that came in. We had been out way too late the previous night seeing Watchmen.
Yeah.
And we came in that following morning kind of dragging ass a little bit. And it was that song that re-energized us. And
I can tell you, on the way home, my wife bought one of your CDs after hearing the bit.
Yeah.
And on the way home, that's all we listened to was that song. She put it in and set it to repeat the entire way home.
Now, they only live 30 seconds away, but that's...
So they only heard the introduction to this, so they never actually heard any version. Yeah.
Here's the thing I want to talk about that brought up. Cartoons that we watched growing up. Let's start off with this. How many of these cartoons did you enjoy then? You've gone back to try and watch now and wondered what the hell was wrong with you. You just presumed, even if your parents are the cleanest people on the face of the earth.
Transformer.
You must have been a crack baby.
I want every single person who's listening to this now, who has fond memories of Transformers, but hasn't seen it in recent memory, and only has those childhood Saturday morning memories to go by, I want to warn you, you can't go back.
There's only one theme song on there that seriously the show has absolutely held up over time, still going today, although not quite the same, but the old episodes still hold up just as strong as they did, and that's the Sesame Street theme.
Hmm.
You know, they show those old episodes occasionally, but they almost always have a disclaimer on it. And they used to show dirty storefronts, and now they don't show dirty storefronts. And,
you know, they used to do Monster Peace Theater with Cookie Monster smoking a pipe.
Right.
And then
and they don't show that anymore.
And at the end of it, he eats the pipe.
Right.
And they can't show that anymore.
Because obviously some child is going to get,
run out and buy some Burley Black and a pipe and start smoking
and
it.
And the whole, of course, the overdone debate that cookies are a sometimes food or whatever.
Yeah.
But
I would have thought the DuckTales would hold up.
You know, it just depends on the state of mind I'm in. I mean, if I'm under the influence of illegal narcotics, DuckTales is awesome.
Because I disagree with Chad about Transformers. I went out and bought season one on DVD, and I still enjoy season one.
No.
Now, I won't go any further than
that's
that.
That's because you like seafood and hot dogs.
I've gone further than that. I have gone a couple episodes in the season two. And for me, those didn't hold up at all. So I am stopping here, and I'm not buying the next DVD.
As the guy who wrote the Transformers role-playing game that I ran.
The only one ever.
The only one ever written. Yeah. I don't know, maybe. I've not seen another one.
Yeah, there might be.
I'm sure there is. Somebody else has done it, I'm sure. I have no doubt somebody else has done it.
I mean, they had stat sheets.
Yeah, we thought about it. I mean, I think every geek who owned a Transformer, who played D&D or whatever.
As a guy who went out of his way to took the time to write a Transformers role-playing game, to take all the different source material and create a cogent universe out of it, to run campaigns in it, I have to agree with Chad. I went back and watched the cartoon movie, and the first 30 minutes...
I was about to say, that movie totally holds up. It's a shame it's only 20 minutes long.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. The first 20 or 30 minutes absolutely holds up to this day. As an adult, I can still enjoy it.
It's a shame they didn't do any more after that.
I mean, yeah.
After Optimus dies, spoiler... They just end it. There's nothing else.
Anybody who hasn't watched the movie since the 80s?
I think there's got to be
going
a
back to
statute
the,
of limitations on spoilers.
Going back to the... I got in trouble. The first time I was ever on anything...
Hey, in The Sixth Sense, he's dead.
The first time I was there on anything publicly aired, I spoiled The Dark Knight Returns.
Well, you remember the time I spoiled Harry Potter. Harry Potter had been out, like the books, we're not talking movies here, had been out for about a couple years now, and we were out mini golfing with a buddy of ours, and I mean, Snape kills Dumbledore was, I mean, that's an internet meme, right?
It was
everywhere. People bought banner ads that says Snape kills Dumbledore. It's all over the place.
World of Warcraft guilds called Snape kills Dumbledore.
And I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, that
my wife had that one spoiled when we went and picked up the book the day it came out because she's a big fan.
Okay, that's
different. Can't stand the book. But on the way out, somebody is standing there reading that page.
See, that's different. This is like a couple of years later. I don't even remember the context of the conversation, but I'm like putting... I think we're even talking about spoilers. You know, she's a guy, and
the boat sinks,
and I'm like, Snape kills Dumbledore, and my friend... And dead silence. My friend stops, and he looks at me, and he goes, "What did you say?" I'm like, "Snape kills Dumbledore." He's like, "I'm not... to that book yet." And I'm like, "What?" And he's like, "I'm reading the books now. I haven't gotten there yet. You just totally spoiled that for me." I'm like, "Oh, come on."
But going back to the Transformers cartoon, as much as I loved all the people, places, and things of the universe, Chad's absolutely right. The cartoon that I watched that was the biggest waste of...
Mikey, that looks like 10W30 motor oil.
All right, to explain what's going on around the table right now, Mikey, when he came up here, brought a broad selection of beers. The one that we're drinking right now, because we didn't want to turn this into an us sampling beers episode, but there's one he brought to the table that we're drinking right now, and I'm permitting it for one reason, which is the name of the beer. This beer is called...
It actually ties in very well to the conversation we're having right now.
This beer is called the Dark Lord.
Nice.
And
nice.
When they tapped it at Midwest Microbrewers Festival in 2008, which was actually the vintage we're drinking right now, they just simply listed it as He Who Must Not Be Named.
Nice, nice. Mikey, tell us the story behind this.
Well, I actually was going with the Dark Lord of Denny's thing.
Yeah. Oh, dark, gotcha. And I am drinking from the Baron Von Badass Stein.
And I'm drinking from the Stein that is at Dan's house that has my name on it, so I'm very happy.
But the cartoon that absolutely is beyond horrible, it is worse than I possibly could have conceived, a cartoon being worse than I could have possibly conceived, is Voltron. Holy crap.
They did a couple of remakes of Voltron that were a little bit better. What I absolutely love, though, is they've done a comic book of Voltron that actually is really good. But I completely agree with you. I was a huge Voltron fan, and I went back and I watched it.
Yeah, when they just started releasing the lion tins, where they had these little tins that were shaped and colored like the five different lions for, I guess, the five different seasons of Voltron or whatever. And Carla was a huge Voltron fan. So as they started coming out...
Oh, Voltron is awful.
Oh, it was. I bought her the first tin.
I didn't even like it as a kid.
And I loved it as a kid. I had all the toys, but yeah, I'm going to be honest. The toys, like Transformers, were better than the actual show.
Yeah.
No matter how much I was enjoying it back then, I enjoyed the toys
more. My problem with it as a kid was the same problem I had with A-Team as a kid. For whatever reason, I don't know why, I figured out early on that every single episode is exactly the same.
They gotta fly and BA drinks the milk.
Yeah, exactly. And then they shoot into the air and
Nobody gets shot, nobody dies.
Nobody gets shot, nobody dies. And then
let's fight them with the lions.
No wonder we lost Vietnam.
Yeah, exactly. I figured that out about Voltron really, really early on. For some reason, I'm sure other Saturday morning cartoons from the 80s were like that, where they were very formulaic and it was the same thing over and over and over.
I think a lot of them are like that.
But I don't remember them being like that. I remember Transformers as being this cool thing. I remember Smurfs as having an interesting episode every episode, but I'm sure they were formulaic. But
including the UNICEF episode they did.
I specifically remember as a kid, Voltron and A-Team. I just wonder if those two were the worst offenders.
I think those are just the ones that you remember.
Here's the thing. Yeah, Voltron actually had an ongoing backstory. Now, the plot of every episode was we're going to fight the whatever it was as lions until we lose, at which point we form Voltron and continue to lose. Then we form Blazing Sword, cut it in half, and it dies.
Yeah. Right.
They took that concept and they made Power Rangers.
This concept
Well, they got that concept from Battle of the Planets or Gotchaman or G-Force, whatever you want
Science
to call
Ninja
it.
Science Ninja Team
Gotchaman. I watched those Battle of the Planets.
But that
I have
that
the
formula
first three seasons of Science Ninja Team Gotchaman.
But there was a backstory. Awesome. There was an evolving backstory going on behind Voltron about the characters and stuff that had nothing to do with that formula and actually changed from one episode to the next. But it was awful. It was poorly written, poorly executed, poorly animated, poorly voice acted. There was nothing redeeming about it, but it was there.
I still think so fondly of it because, like I said, some of the comic books they've done of it have been really good. So I actually still like the story they've done in the comic books better.
Of Voltron?
Yeah. Mm. They've actually had some really good remakes.
I have no idea. I have no,
they're supposed to be.
Like, I remember Silverhawks and Brave Star and...
Yeah.
Yeah, there was one.
You know, I remember the name.
Crap.
I remember the name Brave Star, but I don't remember.
Was Brave Star the one with the sheriff that had the robot horse?
Yes, the space sheriff. It's High Noon in outer space. He's riding a robo horse, and he's got a robotic eye.
But his robo horse can turn humanoid and carries a shotgun.
I tell you, I love Silverhawks. I was a big, huge Silverhawks.
You know what? I heard a complaint.
If it's about Silverhawks, they're wrong. That's my childhood.
Well,
childhood is wrong, Chad.
My childhood is perfect.
I had a discussion. It was not a debate, so I actually agreed with him, with Chris Mace about Silverhawks. And he said what bothered him about the series was the fact that it was nonsensical. You had people with bare skin out in space, talking, walking like there's gravity.
Every cartoon of that era had that problem.
But hold on, though. Let me finish this thought, because I'm going, yes, you're right.
Was he saying that there was no black people in space? Because there weren't.
Chad
I'm sorry.
Fearoftheboot.com.
Hey, man, there were no black people in space in the 80s. What can I say?
But the thing was, they would end each show, just like G.I. Joe had the safety PSAs, they would end each show with a science lesson about astronomy and space. And so what bothered him, at least as far as
this
I understood,
bad?
Was the fact that the show itself had no interest in reality. No interest in it. It was absurdity. You know, like, there's people with bare skin out in deep space talking and walking.
Oh, come on. The guy had a car in space, and it was a convertible.
Now, here is why I will stand by Silverhawks. The playground will always be as big as I remember, because I remember one thing.
That the chick had a metal hairdo.
No. And she played a guitar, but that's not what I'm getting at.
Dude, guitars rock!
That's not what I'm getting at.
If Joel Schumacher had done Silverhawks, she would have had nipples on her little silver out bracelet.
No, she's female. She wouldn't. All the male characters would.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. My bad.
That's right.
I'm sorry, Dan. Continue.
No, you're not.
What? You're right. Mikey, this beer is wonderful, by the way.
Buzzsaw. How can any series with Buzzsaw in it possibly be bad?
What the hell's Buzzsaw?
He was no Shredder, that's for sure.
Mm.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was my cartoon of choice growing up. Well, that and
I've not gone back and watched it. All I can tell you is that I have been disappointed that because it's what I grew up with, the version of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that had Rocksteady, Bebop, Shredder crying, I've been disappointed that since then, none of the remake movies or whatever use that telling
time out here.
All right,
okay, so they have remade, like they always do, they have remade the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon, the Saturday morning cartoon.
Okay,
now the one that's on now is really crap because they've gone back to that one from the 80s where it's all silly and it's for
Cowabunga,
children.
Cowabunga, dude!
I don't know if there's even still one going right now.
A couple of years back, they redid it and they didn't give it any designation. They didn't do it like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Extreme or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Next Generation. Or
if this is the one I'm thinking about, it's the one I was excited about.
It's just
going back to my comic book roots. That's what they did.
Yeah, it's just Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, so I can't in any way differentiate it from any of the other. In fact, I'd love to because I want to order the DVDs of it, but I can't. I don't know how to find it on Amazon to differentiate it.
I'll see if I can find it for you because I have seen it out there.
So anyway, what was good about it is that it had an ongoing storyline. It had this ongoing storyline. It had the characters in it. Like, it didn't have Rocksteady and Bebop, but they went into this dimension that was like these dinosaur people in this dinosaur civilization, and they went to these alien worlds and stuff, and it's really hard to explain. It's like they told a story. They developed the characters.
Say,
it was closer to the comic book.
You know why they did that? They basically took the comic books and they took almost page for page and dumped it onto a TV show.
The comic books were awesome. The old original black and white ones, I mean, they're not for kids.
No.
Well, and what I'm saying, I guess, is not per se that I want that cartoon back. It's the same thing I want out of Transformers. I want them to take the basic who's, what's, and where's of the original show, or at least the show I'm most familiar with, and mature it.
No.
Because I completely agree.
How do you mature Rocksteady and Bebop?
Yeah. Give me time with it. I'll figure it out.
Well, and that's what this cartoon did. But
it's a pig with a mohawk and 80s...
Yeah.
Well, but
punk.
Emo...
When they try, you get Toka and Razor.
They did mature it. They did mature it. Like not Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I'm talking about Transformers.
Right.
They did mature it, but they didn't mature it for you. And now what I mean by that is that what you want is what I think it's great. You want a story. You want character development.
Right.
You want a plot. You want it to make sense.
I want it replaced with darkness.
Yeah, you want it elevated to a certain extent. We're not talking Shakespeare here. It's still Transformers, people. But, you know, you want it to be something that you can enjoy as an adult. But what they did do is they advanced it to what would actually make money.
So because you've heard my tirade about this before. What they did was take characters and make them setting.
Yes.
They took our childhood and trampled on it.
And what they did is they're like, it's a business venture. I can't, you know, diss them for wanting to make money, but they're like, let's make a special effects blockbuster. The story and plot and character development, that's all getting in the way of explosions and CGI and transforming
robots.
What they
tried to do was make a movie based on our nostalgia and use that to make money. What they didn't understand is what we actually liked about the property.
No. The movie made money. Wait, hold on. They understood what was needed to make money. If they wanted to add story into, like what we're saying, we're the nerd demographic. Everybody listening to this podcast is the nerd demographic, and they want the Transformers with the story. The thing is, we don't have enough money. We're not enough people. They needed a movie that appealed to the masses, to the movie-going masses. And that's what they did. It was the summer special effects blockbuster.
Well, all right.
And that's why I made money.
There's a whole slew of points there I was trying to respond to, so I'm going to start way back and move forward. Mikey, first of all, in response to making Rocksteady and Bebop more mature, look, the very basic concept of the show is four humanoid turtles that eat pizza being taught by a humanoid rat.
The show, yes. The comic book, no.
Okay.
But I get your point.
The take out the pizza, but it's still four humanoid turtles.
Actually, the pizza was in the original cut. No, it just wasn't as... It wasn't childlike.
It was killing people.
It was darker, yeah.
They were ninjas and ninjas were assassins.
If you believe you can keep four humanoid ninja turtles in there, you can put in a humanoid pig or a humanoid rhinoceros and keep
with a mohawk and punk shades. Called Bebop.
Well, once again, this is what I'm talking about. This is where you mature it. You take the concept, you keep the character, but you develop it, you mature it. You know, you don't leave it where it was. You ditch the mohawk, you ditch the shades, maybe even you rename him. But nonetheless, you keep the concept of here's a guy who, unlike the turtles, has basically no skills, but he has twice their size and twice their mass. You know, because of the fact that instead of crossing...
And a gun.
Yeah, because instead of crossing him with a turtle, they took a gangbanger and crossed him with a boar.
Right.
And this guy is a monstrosity.
I can see that, but you put that boar up against four ninjas with blades, well, and what you have is pork chops.
This is why you have the boar.
That ain't kosher.
You have the boar with a gun, you have the rhino with a gun, you've got the ninja...
Animals have a gun.
You've got the... Well, how many animals have swords?
Porky's got a gun.
But you put them with a ninja master who's got his own clan of ninjas. And now,
what kind of ninjas? Are we talking about the comic book where it's street punks that he's turned into a sort of death assassin cult, which is cool, dark, and mature? Or
it's not mature.
It's cool and dark. Or it's robots that are kid safe.
Because you can take the head off a robot, but you can't take a head off a human. Yeah, and they had to do that for the TV show because you can't kill humans.
And people are like, oh, well, they sold out. No, I'm glad they did because otherwise I wouldn't have a cartoon when I was a kid.
Here's my favorite version of the, speaking specifically of the Foot Clan, my favorite version of the Foot Clan was in the CG movie they did several years ago.
Yeah, I never actually saw that. That was really well done. Yes, it was. I never saw it.
I thought it was going to be total crap, had no interest in it, caught it on HBO, and was pleasantly surprised. It's not my top five or anything.
Sure.
But if you did not...
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes, so. If you did not see the CG Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie that came out, I guess it was 3 to 5 years ago, go rent it off of Netflix or something like that. It's worth watching. It was surprisingly good. And they have a version of the Foot Clan in there where, as best as I understood them, because they never really got deep into the explanation.
They weren't the villains.
They weren't the villains. But secondly, this was an imported ninja dojo from Asia. That it was kind of like, I guess, like you have something like the Triad or the Snakeheads or the Tong or something like that. The Yakuza, they had the Foot Clan. That it was this imported criminal organization that consisted of an ancient ninja society. And they were human, and it was very dark. But once again, add back in some of the characters and concepts I'm familiar with that same level of darkness and reality, and I think it'd be done. It's the same thing with Transformers. I really believe there is a better Transformer story that can be told based on the 1980s cartoon and comic book, yet maturing it, bringing it up to a level.
You had a robot that can transform into a train that can fly through space. base.
Well, once again, I did not say...
I don't know what they were smoking, but I want some.
I'm not suggesting transliterating any of these series. I am not suggesting a direct, let's just take the old scripts and make them live action. I'm not suggesting that, but I'm suggesting...
We must stay true to the source material.
You know, there are people out there,
look,
though.
I'm just saying...
That's the problem with Transformers is which source
here's
material.
Here's the thing. Is that
I'm just saying that Michael Bay is not the next stop after Sunbow.
Here's what I'm saying, though, is that
that's what I'm saying.
Here's what I'm right. saying, though, is that whose interpretation do you go with? Let's take Batman for just a second.
Okay.
Kind of tangent off. Right. It's like if your ultimate Batman is Dark Knight, the movie.
Right.
Dark Knight, I mean, which was a very good movie, yeah, but it's very dark and it's very...
Goyer's Mask of the Phantasm is where
Sure.
Right, okay.
And so, but other people remember a different kind of Batman.
Yes.
Well, and I'll mention Keith Curtis, who is a great guy, wonderful artist, and he's, you know, very active member of our community. And his favorite Batman
was the Caped Crusader.
It's the Caped Crusader. It's the Adam West.
The dynamic,
you know,
duo.
Like,
yeah.
It's like, I'll save you, good citizen, you know, BAMO sort of stuff. And to me, I look at that and I'm just like gagging, right? But that's just me.
I would watch either, and I think there is a place for both kinds of stories.
All right. Yeah. So let me
my point is is that if you make this ultimate media, this movie, this cartoon, this comic book, this video game of the thing that you're talking about here,
it would only last about 4 hours because video games never last any length anymore.
Well, whose interpretation would you take? I mean, because there's different demographics who want different things out of these different IPs, especially the longer the IP has existed, the more it changes and evolves.
And I
over
understand
time.
And I realize that to some extent with a lot of these, with Batman, I can point to Goyer or Goyer or however his name is pronounced.
Goyer.
And I
Goyer,
can,
go for it.
Okay. And I can say that this guy, by coincidence, hit on the interpretation of Batman I wanted. And he's carried that over. He started with Mask of the Phantasm, the animated series, all that. It's carried over into Batman Begins and Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Nolan gets all the credit, which I. Drives me, excuse the pun, but...
Batty?
Yeah.
Nice. Batty.
And, but nonetheless, it just so happens somebody had my interpretation. I realize that with Transformers, I cannot point to someone who's like, yeah, that's what I'm going for.
Now, here is my ultimate point on this. It doesn't matter if we're trying to appeal to you...
Right.
...or Wayne, or Keith Curtis, or myself, or Mikey, or whatever. This is a business.
Well, you know,
and
what?
People are going. They're like the Transformers thing. They looked at it and they did a cost benefit analysis. They're like, how can we maximize the return on our investment?
And I think they missed the boat.
And of
I think
course,
they should have made a lot more money.
No, yeah, but Michael Bay also
might be right.
in that whole routine. Michael Bay looked at it and said, "Where can I put the shot of the explosion with people running?"
Well,
because that's what he does.
That's
he
Michael
puts every
Bay.
Movie he
I
does.
Think that the money men said, "Well, how can we make this money?" Big summer blockbuster special
effect. Let's get
effect.
Michael Bay.
Michael Bay. Somebody call him. So, yeah.
Well, and I came up with an example
that
while this doesn't apply directly to what we're talking about, I think sets sort of an example or an archetype of what it is I'm looking for. What I want is a series that grows up with me. As I've grown older, I've matured. I've changed. But I'm still Dan. There are things about me that were true when I was 6 that are still true now that I'm 33. The example I will give you is what J.K. Rowling did with the Harry Potter books.
She
grew the books up. Yeah. Book 1 was very innocent, very simple. And the series got increasingly complicated and dark because it was meant to, number one, follow the kids in the books who are getting older, but secondly, follow the readers, first and foremost being her own son, who were also getting older as the books grew up. And so the themes matured, but it was still the same story. It's not like all of a sudden, okay, we're going to reboot the series and ditch this character and we're going to completely start the whole thing over. And that's what I'm looking for. I would love somebody to treat the things I have nostalgia for, the 1980s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon, the 1980s Transformers cartoon, and not radically rewrite them like Michael Bay did with Transformers, but instead to simply say, look, we are going to grow these stories up without changing the basis of what they are.
So, Dan, what did you think of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon? Not the new TMNT one, the original live-action one they did. Because for me,
I never actually saw the original live-action ones.
I actually loved
it. I never saw. I could never get past.
Wait, what did we say?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
The live action movies.
I'm sorry. Okay. I was just like.
Was Corey Feldman's voice in it?
I was just obsessing over this beer that Mikey brought, and I was like running my tongue across my teeth. And I was like, and then I'm eyeing your two guys' beer,
and
Wayne and Dan's, and they're not touching it. I'm like, I wonder if it would be faux pas or kind of gross to say, can I have this?
Here you go, Chad.
Dan, do you?
I'll probably finish mine.
Oh, that's too, right. That's
Wayne,
a shame.
Did I bring a beer that you actively like?
Actually, you did. I did enjoy some of the taste in there.
Triumph. Victory Triumph. Is mine.
Yes. High five.
But
you also brought some stuff that completely overwhelmed me.
Yeah, all the stuff that tastes like beer.
Let me go in a radically different
way. Actually, the stuff that tasted like coffee was worse than the stuff that tasted like beer.
Hold on. Time out. Right. Real quick. I'm sorry. We have to take a beer tangent here. Mikey?
Let's not. Let's go back. Oh, okay. I want to make a point on J.K. Rowling.
Okay. Make your point on J.K. Rowling, then I'm going to take this.
I want to do beer talk later, though.
All right. That's fine. I'm going to take this in a different direction, because I'm with the J.K. Rowling.
Your assertion is that the Harry Potter characters and story grew to match the complexity of the characters and the complexity of the readers. And my assertion would be the Harry Potter storyline grew as the author grew as an author, because the first book she wrote was Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, or Philosopher's Stone.
The writing style is not really up to par in the first couple
of
books.
It grows. Well, I mean, the first books really do seem to be
let me
for
reply
young adults,
with...
and I think that it's simply that she grew as a writer as the readers were growing as readers, as the characters
were developing as characters. Natural progression? Because she says, and her publicists say, that it was planned, and she's writing it for her son.
A publicist says everything was planned.
Well, okay, now you're saying some of the darkness may have been planned, but she's growing as an author as she does.
Did she plan to sell the most wealthy
author in human history?
I mean, I think she planned to write one book.
But here's my basic point. I don't care.
Sure.
The stories grew up. Whether that's her getting better as an author, or whether that was planned, or whether it's a combination of the two, and I think it's a combination of the two.
Well, I agree. The stories did mature and grow up.
Yeah,
characters grew in complexity.
I don't really care why it happened. Let me go do a way back and see how many people
you read the books?
I've read some of them.
I've read all of them.
I've never read a single one.
I tried to read the first one when it first came out. I couldn't stomach it. I couldn't get through three chapters.
Let's go back to Saturday morning cartoons, though.
All right,
so I'm guessing... and this,
you shut up!
This is another one where don't go back because you can't. But this is not the one I want to talk about.
Gummy bears? Because don't say that, because...
Gummy bears bouncing here and there and everywhere.
Gargoyles also still holds up.
I never saw gummy bears.
I love
gargoyles.
Gummy
bears. I love
gargoyles. Holds up.
Do you remember? And you're probably the only one who did. Is that the gummy bears song that we just butchered there for a second?
Yeah.
Do you remember that they had a theme song before that one, and it was like this sort of. I know we've been old.
Along with the moon of gummy bears.
Yeah, it was more of like a folk
gummy
song.
Gummy bears bouncing here. That's the chorus, dude.
There was a song before that.
A hidden anti-Semitic message.
No, there was a song before that. It was like darker
gummy
and it was more
Fuhrer.
Folk.
I'm sure you guys remember the cartoon, The Real Ghostbusters, based on the Ghostbusters movie.
Absolutely.
Which the remake of the cartoon was better than the original.
All I can tell you is the Real Ghostbusters cartoon back when they was terrible. But that's not the one I'm going after.
Wonderful.
Does anyone but me remember the Ghostbusters cartoon,
which was actually based on a live-action show,
that was older,
with a guy
than
in a gorilla suit. Yeah.
Yes,
it had the dude from F Troop in it.
Wow, Mikey,
I used to love F Troop.
I'm going to have to salute you because you not only remembered the cartoon, but
live-action.
When
show,
I talk to most people,
Sid and Marty Croft, I believe. I'm not sure.
I remember it, but I barely remember it.
There was a cartoon called Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I don't remember what happened last week.
Which was about a group of people that busted ghosts.
It was two guys and a gorilla.
Yeah. He's dead serious.
It really was a gorilla.
It's two guys and a gorilla.
They had an arc villain who was not in the original
Not in the live action series. He's not the original TV series,
not the live action series. Who was like this guy with a red cape who played the organ all the time or something nonsensical
like
that.
Well, of course.
Yeah. But it was based on, and this was a part that I always found interesting, it was based on an old black and white...
Porno?
Yes. Live action TV show called The Ghostbusters about a group that would go out, and these were more... It was not a serious show, okay? This was not a deep, serious show. But they did not have proton packs and stuff. They more investigated and dealt with ghosts.
It was more like, not Ralph Kramden, but his sidekick.
I have no
Never clue. Mind. All right, but anyway.
Right. But,
what those goofy guys doing stupid shit to try and catch ghosts.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, maybe if we put a banana peel under the box, the ghost will like banana peels and go under and the stick will fall.
All right, anyway. And they had a gorilla. It was a guy in a gorilla suit.
Yeah, but I always found it fascinating that the show that came later called itself The Real Ghostbusters.
Right.
Even though it's based, that was a cartoon.
Oh, come on. You were five. Who you're going to
no,
really
No, I
realize.
Did. I knew at
oh,
the time.
Oh, you knew.
I did.
You knew. You were the one... kid no. in America who
Tex
knew.
Tex actually, knew as well. Tex knew
so
as well.
So you were the two kids?
Yes.
And
three, evidently, because I knew.
And Hasbro ripped
hey,
off your
we
ideas.
We have three. We're
email.
An army. We
Mattel.
Are legion and
yeah.
we are
Mattel
growing.
Mattel ripped you off. Yes.
Chet, with this man's love of Ghostbusters, I believe him. No, loves Ghostbusters like Dan loves Ghostbusters.
I have been told that I am the contrarian opinion on this show.
Did you are entitled to your
you
opinion,
the
and you are wrong.
Ghostbuster games?
I did not.
Am,
no,
so.
I did
not. Next time I come up, I'll bring it. We'll play.
By the time I got into role-playing and became aware of the fact, because this is, of course, prior to the internet. So by the time I got into the role-playing scene and was aware of the existence of a Ghostbusters role-playing game, it was out of print. There was no way to get it.
Here's what I want out of a role-playing game for Ghostbusters. And this is not my idea. This is actually Dan's idea. This is what I want out of a Ghostbusters role-playing game. I want it to be you and your friends, the rest of the party, have decided to bust Ghost, and going off of the success, quote-unquote success, of the Ghostbusters in New York, you've decided to contact them and get a franchise.
That's exactly the design of the
city.
Ghostbusters
yeah.
role-playing
for
game.
Whatever city
including
you have.
Contracts.
Yeah, exactly.
It came with contracts for you to print out.
That is what I want out of Ghostbusters
with their accountant, their accountant who became the CEO, Louis yeah. B. Tully.
Mm-hmm. So and that's why, and I want you to like try and make money, but there's like collateral damage, and you're paying for that, and you're trying to balance. But all the while, there's a larger, you know, sort of Thule mystery going on while you're trying to bust these Thule ghosts mystery. And all this sort of.
We're
stuff.
Back to Gummy Fuhrer.
The actual role playing game was very cinematic and episodic,
yeah.
and if there was any overarching story, it was imposed entirely by the GM.
Yeah.
And
well,
there was
no
character development, and right. there wasn't any real... But it was fun.
And that's fun, and that's fine. But the thing is, to me, the movies were about the perfect setup for a role-playing game. You had a group of people doing something totally off-the-wall, strange, that nobody else believed in, that you didn't understand them. I mean, that's every geek fantasy, isn't it? And then you were doing this thing day-to-day. You were busting the ghost, you're making money, you're running this business, but... The backdrop to that is that there is this thing going on in the background, this thing that goes from campaign to campaign to campaign in the background that is growing and getting bigger, and you're learning more about it, and you're dealing more and more with it while you're doing your everyday story stuff, and that in the end, you have to deal with it, and you save the world.
Yeah, because the ghosts are a symptom of the
symptom of the problem.
Psychokinetic increase and all.
Right.
It's a symptom
of
a bigger problem.
It's like, that is like an awesome role-playing game right there, but I've never played it.
Let me throw out another one. I never saw this, despite having played a role-playing game that drew fairly heavily from it. Did anyone...
Smurfs.
UNICEF Smurf. That's the only
Are we there
say.
Yet, Papa Smurf?
Is has anyone here
a 500 guys and
watch?
One chick?
Luckiest.
It was 99.
99 guys and one chick.
You know what?
Chafing.
Smurf lube.
I'm sorry.
I'm gonna Smurf the hell out of that Smurf.
There's a reason all the Smurfs are blue.
After she died, you know what Papa Smurf had? 99 problems. Bitch ain't one.
That's right.
But did anyone hear?
Bravo, Dan.
Did anyone here watch the Star Trek cartoon?
Oh, God.
Never saw it.
Oh, God. Lord, yeah. As a matter of fact, I remember going to McDonald's and getting the Happy Meal when it first came out. I mean, it was right after, it was very shortly after the Happy Meal came out, and you could get the communicators from McDonald's and the Happy Meal, and it was just a plastic thing. And then you were supposed to be able to watch the movies, but what it was like scroll cartoon comic strips that you would turn through, and on the face of the communicator, you could see totally one panel at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, at the time, it was
like, this is bitching, man.
Sulu's talking to me.
Yes.
The only thing that sounds like it would turn out worse than that was there was a Highlander cartoon.
Oh. You know what? That's another one. There's nothing to do with cartoons, but I went back. And I realized that the sequels were crap and stuff, but everyone's like, the first Highlander was good, man.
The second sequel was so bad that they had to release an edited version that removed all the alien stuff, and it's still bad.
And I get that. I get it. I understand, right? And so I went back, and I'm like, I'm going to watch. I own it. I own it on DVD. I watched it a dozen times. Hell, in the first time I went to college, we had a Connor McLeod poster on our door that was him in the kilt and the blue kilt and all that sort of crap. So I went back and I'm like, man, I'm going to watch Highlander. It's going to be awesome because Highlander is awesome. And it's the first movie. It's the only movie that's ever made, right? And so I watched it. I'm sitting there watching it. I'm like, this movie is really not that good.
If you want to feel better about it, go out and rent Highlander The Source.
No.
That is... Actually,
it's got Sean Connery.
Wank, 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 wank.
You know, I am actually at a. I am
please
torn.
Hold still, I don't, so I can cut your head off.
I am actually torn. I don't know which movie was worse, Highlander: The Source or Incredible Hulk. If they're both such abominations, I'm really torn.
If you're talking about the Ang Lee one, I'm completely there with
you. I am.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Ang Lee just did it for the money.
Sense honestly. And Hulk ability.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You know, Ang Lee does not make Hulk movies, and when they tapped into the Hulk, I'm like, huh?
I cannot imagine seeing Jennifer Connelly in a movie where I'm not attracted to her, and yet, wow.
Mikey, I will teach you to believe in the magic of movie making all over again. In Galaxy Quest... Sigourney
Weaver is
hot.
The hottest
and Tim
woman
Allen
I've
was
ever
funny.
Seen. He was. I love that movie.
That movie proved to me.
I absolutely love Galaxy Quest.
Tim Allen was funny and Sigourney Weaver was hot.
Sigourney Weaver was hotter in Galaxy Quest than she was in Ghostbusters or in Alien. And in Alien, she wears that little half shirt and panties and nothing else.
Yeah.
And that was,
no, Alien 1.
Alien, not Aliens. Right. Alien.
I was going to say, because from part 2 on forward, she was not transitioning to an alien. She was transitioning into a man.
You know that when Sigourney Weaver did Alien, she was the highest paid woman in Hollywood. She negotiated that contract. She was the highest paid woman in Hollywood ever to do an Alien, which was basically a slasher flick. If you think about it.
I would still drink a quarter of her pee to see where it came from.
Wow. That's, where? There you go. Mikey Mason, folks. MikeyMason.com.
And this is the man that's giving us drinks tonight.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, where did this come from?
Mr. T. And
hey, if you don't want to drink it, though. If
I paid the food. Don't finish your dog,
Lord. Sigourney Weaver. All right, if that's Sigourney Weaver piss, I'm looking at this, and it's like inky blackness. I'm like, wow, she really needs to see a doctor, but I'm going to finish this.
Okay, well, he's drinking my micro rant here. Back to Incredible Hulk. I have
a cartoon?
No.
All right, we're on cartoons. Shut up.
Batman the Animated Series.
Nice. All right. My micro rant here. I will be quick about this.
Welcome to Fear of the Boot.
My big complaint about the Incredible Hulk movie, besides how bad the movie was because it was an abomination, is...
No pun meant...
Abomination was the villain in the second one, and that one was all right.
The second one was actually pretty good.
All right, the people that will come up and say, well... You just wanted an action movie, and what you got was a drama. No, I got a movie with a crappy story. I am fine with a drama for Hulk. I'm perfectly fine with that. This was not a drama.
What's your explanation of Hulk? It's like expanding dad. That's like it's
absorbing
like
dad.
Absorbing dad. Yeah. Absorbing dad and absorbing poodles.
Nick Nolte.
Something.
Who knew that was going to fail? Yeah. Okay. And hey, next time we'll get Gary Busey. Okay.
Dad.
Yeah.
It's just it was a bad story. It was a drama.
I will say this: I've never seen
it. Was
movie.
Just crap.
But you know, and the second one was movie. Made as an action film.
I love the second one.
I am a firm believer because I thought the second one was okay, and the first one was shite. But I'm a firm believer that to do the Hulk right as a movie, it has to be a horror film because the Hulk is a monster.
If you think about it, yeah, there's, I mean...
He's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. That was the inspiration that Stanley had.
He's a monster.
When he made
Treat him
Hulk.
Like a monster. Yeah. Make it scary. A guy who can crush a building and throw a tank should be scary. Make him scary.
And a bad guy, too. I mean, Bruce Banner is the good guy / victim struggling with his inner demons.
He hates Hulk the Hulk.
Hulk was never really a bad guy. He was a child throwing a temper tantrum.
Well,
which, when you have that kind of strength, leads you to be a bad guy, yes.
Yeah.
But he was never a malicious thing.
In the comic books, he later becomes the good guy. You can talk to him. You can reason with him. And it's like, oh, no, we can't beat this guy. Better call in Hulk. Hey, Bruce, can you Hulk out? Sure, guys, I'll Hulk out. Roar! And then
the best version of the Hulk that I've ever seen, which actually they pulled from quite a bit for the storyline for the second Hulk movie, was the run of Ultimates number one by Mark Millar and Ryan Hitch. And,
that's a Hulk that ate people.
Yeah, you know, and he is, you know, Hulk want to kill. This is an actual quote from the book. Hulk want to kill Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yeah,
and
Freddie was on a date with Betty.
On a date with Betty.
Hulk want to kill Freddie Prinze Jr.
You know, and that's and you could and his it, the thing was his libido when he hulked out, he became entirely. A servant of his id. Period. Yeah. End of story.
He wasn't the child in a tantrum in the Ultimate Universe. He was someone that wanted to have sex and eat people. And I am not kidding about the eating people. He ate people.
And he wants to break.
Nice.
So what's the physics of that? When he de-hulks out and has a human-sized mass in his stomach...
They dealt with that in Marvel Zombies,
actually. When he had legs shoved out through his side. When Bruce Banner goes, when he goes back to, he just swallowed a leg whole or whatever it was.
He just pulls the leg out and eats it again.
Yeah, he shrunk down to a human size that just shoved right out through his stomach.
My jokes aside, it does not need to be explained. This reminds me of a conversation I had, and Chad, I think you were there for this many years ago, in a comic book store where... We were talking to someone about some of the internal absurdities of Superman, and he explained to us that somewhere once upon a time, I don't know how far back this goes.
Are you talking Super Control?
Yes.
Super Control Super Control is from Mallrats. Just so you know.
Yeah, that's a scene from Mallrats.
It goes much further back than that, though.
I was going to say,
that's a conversation Stan that geeks Lee, have been having for years.
Yeah, Stan
I saw it on the internet before Mallrats ever came out.
Stan Lee was on Mallrats, and then they have What's-His-Name come up to him, and he's like, chicken not blow across the room? Well, it's Super Control.
Because this
they
conversation
took that off the internet.
Yeah,
that
say,
happened before.
This
that.
Conversation. Well, actually, I'm going to go back farther than that because this conversation happened back when Chad and I were teenagers, prior to the popularity of the internet.
Yeah.
So,
man, well, I think it's happened for
that's
everyone.
The
yeah.
phrase they use.
Wow.
That's the phrase they use. Man of Steel, Woman of Kleenex.
Yeah. So yeah, so this goes definitely predates Mallrats. Childhood cartoons, I think, got it right. So I guess some of these go back to my teenage years, not childhood.
Gummy bear.
Batman the animated series
wasn't done for children. It was done for Saturday, or it was a Sunday evening cartoon to go right after The Simpsons on Fox.
And in fact, that was before computers, and they airbrushed it. And how they got their dark look is that they airbrushed it upon black paper instead of white. And all the white that was in there was white ink that they actually had to add.
You know, I remember when they first did that. They actually did.
Wow.
They did it in prime time to show the first episode.
Yeah.
The first episode was one dealing with Man-Bat. And I remember watching it and thinking, this looks like live action at the time. Now I've gone back and realized I was just a stupid kid. But at the time, I was just blown away.
The Spider-Man cartoon. Talking about once again, the one from the 90s, not the more, because there's been two or three since then, but the one from the 90s.
Just throw X-Men in with it.
The animation was pretty bad, but the writing and story was actually pretty freaking good.
Actually, I don't have any problem with the animation. I go back and watch that.
I went back and watched the animation. It seemed very choppy. It seemed very.
Well, that's what happens when you don't get Asians involved.
Scenes seem.
No, never mind.
Scenes seem to
still better than
very
the,
quickly.
It's still better than the MTV one they did a couple of years ago.
With Neil Patrick Harris as...
Never watched Justice League.
I loved it.
It's a good movie. It was a good, show.
What, your 80s? Early 80s?
No. Well, Justice League.
I'm thinking Super Friends. I'm thinking Super Friends.
No, yeah, Justice League Unlimited, but it was the Cartoon Network Justice League.
And then Justice League Unlimited afterwards.
What was the one that had Spider-Man, Iceman?
Spider-Man and his Amazing Friends.
Okay. Because I remember that one from a kid. The only thing I remember about it was a
Damn you, Dan. Now the song's stuck in my head.
Wayne, you're too young for this.
It doesn't matter. I'm a comic book fan. All right. If there's a comic book cartoon, I have seen it. That's not the song that's stuck in my head, but that would be a much better one.
That's the newer one.
Oh, that is.
That's the newer one.
It was the one Spider-Man, Spider-Man does whatever a spider can.
That's the 60s.
That's the live-action TV show. But that's when the Spider-Man, his Amazing Friends.
Ralph Bakshi, Spider-Man was the Spider-Man.
That's the one that they did in the first movie. And there's the busker on the street, and she's doing the violin, and she's doing, Spider-Man.
That's the theme song to the Ralph Bakshi cartoon from the 60s.
That was hilarious.
Yeah. Every time I see Spider-Man's Amazing Friends, though, I think of that for some reason. I don't even remember the theme song of Spider-Man's Amazing Friends.
I think of Wolverine with an Australian accent, but okay.
I got to close this out, similar to how we started it.
Oh, Lord.
Mikey, has Muppet Babies stood the test of time for you?
Absolutely.
Tiny Toons supplanted Muppet Babies.
I am a huge Muppet fan to this day. And
Muppet Babies was fun, and then Tiny Toons came out, and then you're like, oh, that redefines what fun is, because Muppet Babies isn't funny anymore.
I don't know. I can still watch Muppet Babies.
I'm
going to
leap across this and choke you with a microphone.
I am not. I am not, but I'm not going to give in to your, pedantic verbal bullying. I'm going to tell you right now that Muppet Babies, for what it is, a show for kids, stands the test of time.
And
if I want to find a holistic, creative show that teaches my son or my sons to indulge in cerebral experience, make believe, make sure that they get to use their imagination, that are based on both popular culture and on science, then I would use...
You had Muppet Babies, and that was like the funnest thing on TV. That was fun. It was great. And then that's
had
about
Barbara Billingsley as the voice of Nanny.
Yeah, and then it's like Tiny Toons came out, and some of those other WB shows,
the Animaniacs,
Animaniacs
was a fantastic show.
Tiny Toons.
There's
well, okay,
a difference.
Okay.
Tiny Toons and Animaniacs were written for adults,
teenagers, adults. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. All I have is my experiences as a child, a teenager.
Just because
adult.
You like one show better doesn't mean the other's not so good.
Here's the difference. I'm not saying that
when
one
we got
is bad
into cartoons,
is one good.
You're comparing two separate shows, though.
Right, when we got into cartoons, guys, most of us, in the Saturday morning cartoons, which, by the way, is a phenomenon that no longer exists. Turn on your television on Saturday morning. The reason we don't have Saturday morning cartoons is Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
The kids can get, Nickelodeon, Nick Jr., whatever, and get cartoons 24/7. They don't have to worry about it. They don't,
Powerpuff Girls.
The Charlie Brown Christmas special doesn't mean crap to kids.
Kids can sleep till 1 now.
Right. Yeah. They don't have to go to bed until after midnight, whatever.
Let me tell you my story.
But here's the thing.
Happiness.
When cartoons were created, who are they created for?
Kids.
No. Animation was a medium for adults. Your animated shorts went before a feature film. Kids couldn't afford feature films.
Actually, before a feature film, they went before the newsreels.
There you go.
Let me tell you this. My story of absolute happiness. I've told them this show before.
Bugs Bunny was a cross-dresser, man.
Oh, Bugs Bunny has some messed up stuff, if you
get
into it. Especially some of the stuff they have banned now.
Oh,
I'm sorry, I won't interrupt you again.
No, that's okay. Actually,
on Tom and Jerry, that woman uses... Thomas! But no, she's like, oh, Thomas!
Some of the old Disney stuff's really messed up too.
Seriously, Pecos Bill not allowed to roll a cigarette.
Have you guys seen the old World War II propaganda?
Yes.
Oh
yes,
yeah.
Like when Russia actually became our ally in World War II and before the Cold War, and I remember seeing the it was a song. We're the Russian Gremlins from the Kremlin.
Yeah,
and it was they had a Nazi bomber planes right flying over Europe. And then they had the Russian Kremlins from the Kremlin were there sabotaging it
the
and
planes,
taking
yeah.
it apart. And it was
causing
like,
them to crash.
Caused them
fall,
to crash and stuff. Yeah, I mean, that was wild.
Do a search on YouTube sometime for the Disney 7 banned movies. It's like the, I can't remember, there's actually a term for these seven, but these are the ones that were so offensive. Some of them are ranked as some of the best cartoons ever.
Oh my God. Like,
based on production value.
I remember the absolute, the racism. The racism in
there. There was a Snow White one, or there was a Cinderella one, I think, too. But
I mean, like the they really went against the Japanese racism stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like the yellow skin, the buck tooth, the glasses.
The glasses.
And, yeah, I mean, it was like, you watch it nowadays, like, well, I mean, hell.
It's no worse than looking at comic books of the time, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, hell, it's even like watching Breakfast at Tiffany's, you know, where they had the, what the famous comedian, I forget what his name is, as a Japanese.
Mickey Rooney.
Mickey Rooney as the Japanese guy. And I remember, see, I had never watched Breakfast at Tiffany's before. My wife and I rented a few years ago. We're like, oh, you know, this is okay. And then they got to that scene, and you're like, this is really bad. I mean, this is really, really bad what they're doing.
All right, let me go through a couple of titles real quick. Some of the big ones I don't think we hit. Actually, just at least two big ones I don't think we hit.
Shirt Tales. Pam, Rick, Digger, Tige, and Bogey, the Shirt Tales?
The hell are you
talking? Never mind. Hush, I'm a little older than you.
DuckTales, Mighty
He-Man.
Rescue Rangers.
He-Man and the Masters of
He-Man,
the Universe.
I actually went back.
Okay.
And I went back.
Sucked.
No.
Yes,
when you
does.
Compare it on the Transformers scale, Transformers really sucked. When you go back on the He-Man scale,
Chad likes to see men without
He-Man
shirts.
Was meant to be cheesy, so
it's, you know, I mean, I'm not talking that it's got a great plot line, it's got a great story and character development, but you know, the episodes were different from the other episodes, and there was a sort of there wasn't an overarching plot, but there was an internal consistency, and it was a commercial. It was a half-hour long commercial, and it was
a lot of the cartoons were then.
Yes. I could probably go back and watch He-Man. I can't go back and watch Transfer. I tried.
My second one,
yeah,
Thundercats.
Totally sucks.
Yeah,
and that just blows.
Yeah, it's like when
I
you
tried
go back,
really hard.
You know,
to
I was
enjoy
a
that.
Huge.
I was never a big
fan.
Thundercats fan, but I love the toys.
Yeah, I was a huge. I was the opposite. I never had any Thundercats toys, but I was a huge fan of the cartoon. And when you go back, I mean, it's like,
you got giant cats, your characters.
Hey, Lionel, guess what part of Chitara I saw today?
Yeah, it's like you have the same setup. And then in any time when you recycle a certain number of seconds of animation, like in the Voltron where they get Blazing Sword out, Thundercats, where it's like,
thunder.
Yeah. And when you just that's a bad anime.
Yeah.
Or animation. It's just bad.
It's just saving money.
The Disney
saving
cartoons, money, burning time.
Disney cartoons are real hit or miss for me. I like DuckTales.
They
like
Jack and the Beanstalk.
Like Darkwing Duck. Did not like Chippendale's Rescue Rangers.
I like Chippendale's Rescue
really
Rangers
when
I was a kid because I was
too.
Like the perfect age
I
for
did
it.
Not,
I
yeah. personally did not like Tailspin either.
I loved,
didn't care for Tailspin.
Loved Tailspin. Don't know why. No clue if it stands up or not. This is one that
I always loved Baloo, and I love Phil Harris as Baloo, and I believe they even had Phil Harris as Baloo on Tailspin.
Yeah.
But I just didn't care for Tailspin. I liked DuckTales.
Big Blue.
Yeah, I love DuckTales, and then Darkwing Duck I liked even more.
Big Blue Bear.
I was a superhero person, so it makes sense.
So was I. I just didn't care.
Yeah, they don't know why. Well, here's the thing.
Shere Khan had a big tiger bad guy in it. Shere Khan.
I don't know why it didn't work for me.
Don't know, yeah.
Because you had Sky Pirates. And
it was a lot of cool stuff.
It just never came together for me. I don't know why.
It totally clicked for me.
It didn't have Megaduck.
Well, it totally clicked for me as a kid, and I don't know. I don't know.
It could have gone south really quick, Wayne.
All right.
Before should I have gone with Gizmo Duck instead? Because that brings all kinds of other connotations.
Oh my God! Once you go Gizmo Duck, you never go back.
All right.
And that was my modem impersonation. What?
Forrest goes even further south. I'm going to tune this out. So you guys have a great week, and we will catch you next time.
See ya.